Hi, my friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Foot to Catholic. I'm so glad that you are here. Allison Sullivan is my co-host today, and she had her work cut out for her in this recording. Last week, we called my life a comedy of errors. Well, now the comedy's gone and the errors remain. So I have some things to get off my chest. We talk about anger, kind of rearing its ugly head, some anger management stuff, how to deal with anger as a Christian, when it's righteous, when it isn't. And Allison, if you love Allison preaching, this is a great episode for you because she is here to do her best to help me through it. A little further in the show, we talk a little bit about parenting through youth sports and how to act and not act in the stands. And then to close out the show, we do a little tease of a new segment we're calling Catholic Questions. You've heard of Catholic Answers. We don't have any of the answers here. We just have questions that we want you to ponder. So we hope that you enjoy today's show. If you do, please hit like and subscribe wherever you are watching or listening. Enjoy. Welcome to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll, and that is Allison Sullivan. Hello, Miss Allison.
Hello, Taylor Schroll.
We just went to Cold Stone Creamery as a family.
Yes.
Me, my wife, my kids. They loved it, and it was on your dime. You gave us a gift card, I think, last Christmas and the Christmas before.
I mean...
And we combined them and got an order for five.
How about that?
Thank you.
I am impressed that you can keep up with gift cards like that.
I can't, but I have a wife.
Yes, yes.
So, it was actually a beautiful part of marriage. She knew where one was, and I knew where the other one was.
Okay, together, well, look at that.
You know, so. Allison.
Taylor.
How often, what percentage of time when you're with others? You're an introvert, but you're around people a lot.
And I am.
Around people.
Well, thank you.
What percentage of the time that you're around other people, excluding your family, I would say, just around the public, are you faking the mood that you're in? What percentage of time?
Oh, that is rough. Okay. 50.
50? Okay. So like the one that comes to my mind the most, just in general.
Let's go 60.
Okay. Okay. I figured yours would be higher than mine normally. Mine's way higher than yours recently. But
yeah.
I think normally, I think you're a kind of fake it to me. I think... you can be angry in general or angry at people and mask it pretty well. I think that's the compliment.
Yeah. It's not anyone else's fault because the truth is that I would really rather watch Netflix with my dogs. I mean, like just to
with your dogs. That Netflix and Jill with your dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Didn't go where either of us thought it was going to go. But joke aside, I am surprised that you want to watch a TV show with your... Usually, like, I want to watch a TV show with a person because it's a shared experience. And your dogs are, like, into Love is Blind or what?
I want to be alone. I am an introvert who doesn't just have a big family. I am raising a big family of extroverts. Mm-hmm. Fantasize about being alone. I just want to be alone. So I want to just watch Netflix by myself. In fact, I think it, I don't know if it was a big.
Are you pretending that you want to be here right now?
Yes.
I think 90% of the times that you're at my house, you don't want to be here. That's the vibe you give off. This week.
I can't believe this is news.
It's not news. It's not at all. I'm not like I'm just voicing the quiet things out loud, as they say.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
But this week, I cannot believe you are here right now.
Yeah.
With everything I know about you. We're recording this on spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you well enough. It used to frustrate me, but now I've just accepted it because I know who you are as a person. And we've grown. I don't know if you've gotten any better. I think I've gotten way more accepting of you.
Okay.
Where you said the week before, I said, do you want to record? Are you available to record with me next week, which is spring break? Is that an easier or harder week for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, kids aren't in school, which could either be I have to be home with kids all day. And you were like, I'm wide open. It's the easiest week. Taylor, I can come in the day that I'm driving home from vacation. I'm like, for sure not coming that night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it on my calendar. No chance it's happening. And then I texted you the next day and you didn't respond. Then I texted you the next day and I was like, dear sister in Christ. And you were like, sure, I might come sometime. I'm like, any day time? I don't know. I'll show up when I show up. I cannot believe you are here. What I genuinely thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about 60-40. If that's, we talked about your 60-40. My 64 is, I was like 60%. She's not coming at all. This episode released on Tuesday. There's a chance I'm just, yeah. Poop out of luck once again. Episode for another, you know, for the second time in a year after 2 weeks ago. The other one, I was like, she's going to come Monday morning. And we're going to have to edit it Monday morning and get it out by Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very complimentary of myself. I think this is the most sacrificial thing I've seen you do in years.
Let this be, because you're right. There, my best friend is currently at my house with all of our children. Mm-hmm. She's holding down the fort. Okay.
Oh, wait. I had just complimented you.
I think it's about to start monsooning.
Now I realize.
What? What?
This is the happiest you've been to be here in a while. And I just figured out why. I did just click because of the last two conversations.
No idea what you're about to say.
You're an introvert and there are 98 people in this right now.
No.
You would much rather be here.
No. No, I still definitely want to be at my house. Okay, so I think it was a bigger birthday. It was like a larger present. But my husband's gift to me was a hotel room so that for me and me only, so that I could go be alone. So, yes. However, I am loyal to people and to responsibilities. Now, and here's how it gets murky with us. Why I'm here right now is out of friendship, like a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I feel loyal to you as a friend and I know that this is important to you. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, the answer will always be yes, forever and always yes.
It will always be yes, but never the day we planned. But
and here's how it gets murky. Here's the cross is that I am a good employee. But the thing about employing, and this is
usually get a wage.
You have dollar. There are dollars that you are responsible for. Right. And so, and this is true with my own show too. Like I see $0. There's no dollars. So it's hard to be like, wake up early and get to the whatever. And so I'm just saying that that's how it gets murky because that to me equals responsibility. And so really it's all out of just friendship. Mm-hmm. And when it's out of just friendship that you're doing things that you don't want to do, it's harder to make yourself do it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a weird like intersection. But you don't struggle parenting
and you've never made a dollar from that.
That's an excellent point you bring up. And that's just biology. I don't know what to say about that.
I can accept that. No, it is really funny because I think I joked that I was the only one growing, but I think you've proven me wrong.
Yeah.
I think a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. you would have completely not shown up and I'd have been pissed.
Right.
I've gotten patient enough to be patient in a span. I have like a 4 to 5 day window that I can be patient.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. I was probably pushing it this time.
No.
Butting up against
you had till tomorrow evening. Your window was Tuesday evening to tomorrow evening. Which
Saturday, you did include Saturday. You're anytime Saturday, but I knew I couldn't do Saturday. Okay, I can't do Saturday. So here we are.
So
at 5 o'clock on Friday.
And what you? I am very proud of you because
you.
2 years ago, Allison would have not come, and here you are.
Yeah, I would have said so good luck to you.
Okay,
phone a friend.
The reason I ask. I guess we should wrap up that conversation. There was a reason I asked you how often you mask how you really feel.
Uh-huh.
Because I typically am like, how I feel is how I'm acting and talking.
Uh-huh. What you see is what you get.
Right. But recently, I have been masking lots. Because I've been generally in a good mood, which is weird, because my whole life is falling apart. You had hiccups earlier. I just scared them out.
Yes, they're gone.
They're gone. Completely gone. I talked last week about it was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
And now it's just errors. It's just continued. There's no more comedy about it.
Quit being funny.
We're like, I mean, I can't really be angry, but I've been masking it quite a bit. So lots going on.
Okay.
What's going on?
All right. Spill it?
Yeah, I guess so. So here's some of the comedy of errors, and there's one that I'm actually angry about. I have spoken before on the show about how I used to really have an anger problem. Like when I had like testosterone and a six pack, you know?
Really, really angry.
Yeah. And then I got fat and kind of relaxed a little bit, maybe grew in some maturity. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe God, maybe prayer. I don't know. But yeah. Some combination of
you
that.
Became a little easier to be around.
yeah, for sure. I was pretty complimentary of myself last week about how I was handling all this stress and all this anger. I haven't gotten in a yelling match with somebody in a long time. Because I either, typically when I get angry internally, I walk away so that I don't punch a human being.
Yes.
Or
stay out of jail.
I like take a big breath and I get real quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Which really messes with people because I'm usually pretty loud. Sure. Right. Yeah. So both are effective. Sure. Well, one is effective in me not going to jail. The other is effective actually in like, you know, resolving the conflict.
Yeah. Scaring people in a different way.
Right. Yeah. Like you're more quiet, so you have to yell to be scary. Mm-hmm. I yell all the time.
Mm-hmm. So you're right.
I'm like, oh no. He might murder someone. Yeah. So I got in two shouting matches this week.
I'm intrigued.
I haven't gotten in one. I don't remember the last time I was in a shouting match.
Mm-hmm.
Two this week.
Can I make guesses on?
Go for it.
On who? You're not going to divulge who?
One of them I'll absolutely talk about. The other one I'll be shady about.
There's
zero chance you can guess these two things.
Okay.
Unless I've already told you about one of them.
You've told me nothing.
Okay.
I think one of them is probably related to some housework
100%,
going on.
Yes. Okay. We talked a little bit, yeah, about
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So something happened there and maybe it's money related. Maybe it's just unfinished business or something.
Yep.
Okay. I think the other one is I hope it's not a family member.
It's not.
Okay,
it's
great. Not. Good.
The other one, there was no chance you were ever going to guess.
Okay, great.
The housing thing, we've at least, you know, talked enough that you know some things going
okay.
on, right? Before we get to the two big shouting matches, here's the comedy of errors from last week, if you listened to last week's episode.
Yeah.
Comedy of errors. I got a ticket a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've said this on the show yet.
No, I don't. I didn't.
I haven't been pulled over in 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like I am a constant 5 to 6 over cruise control. Like the Texas state troopers literally have a rule. They can't pull you over unless you're going over by more than 7.
No, oh, okay.
I'm sure a city person could if they really wanted to, but like they're not going to pull you over for 5 or 6 over.
Yeah.
So I was cruising at 72 miles an hour, driving to a retreat. Mind you, this was a couple months ago. And I have a court date. I'm going to court. I'm a member of this society.
I'm just really relieved to hear that this was a couple of months ago and this was not one of your shouting matches. That you did not get to in shouting match with the police officer.
No. I'm going to be absolutely professional. But I had my court date.
Okay.
The comedy of it is that like I didn't know I was speeding. I got clocked at going 22 miles an hour. Because you know how the sun rises in the east and sets in the west?
It does.
I was driving due west in central Texas, completely flat. The sun directly in my eyes for 45 minutes.
Oh.
So I was doing one of those things with my like the little visor in the car where I would like every 2 seconds I would look under it and then look over it. Then look under it and look over it. Look under it. Trying because I could see maybe from me to the camera driving a car 7 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I was trying not to die.
Yeah.
So I'm not leisurely looking at all the signs. And then apparently I got into a city where it goes from 70 down to 50.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that sign. Didn't know I was speeding until the cop pulled me over. So I'm going to, then I have, I had a warrant out for my arrest because I did not call soon enough to set a court date and a plea or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know why I didn't call? Is because the ticket was in my car that was in Dallas because I was robbed.
Right. Yeah.
So now I have a court date.
It just sounds like a really good excuse.
I'm gonna go in a suit and tie and be like,
yes.
Look, lady, I'm imagining it's a lady. Just
okay. I like that.
I don't know why. I just realized that now. Maybe it's your fault.
punishments? Women handing out punishments?
No, I think it's your feminism rubbing off of me that I'm just picturing strong, powerful women and
I like
in roles now.
So I'm going to go see this woman or maybe bald man. That's what I'm picturing as the second option now.
Okay.
Which would work? Either would work.
Either.
For me.
Either.
I'm good I feel at talking like to both.
Yeah. Charm them all.
So
all things to all men.
I have a court date like when this episode comes out or the week before. So that'll be fun. Okay. We are trying.
Yeah.
Big news. Trying to sell our house. Mm-hmm. We're trying to move here still in our community, but we bought this house when we were dead broke and now we're only broke. So we're trying to get a house for broke people, not yes. dead broke people.
Yes.
So we spent all of spring break. You know, typically when my parents take the kids, it's like a vacation for us.
And for sure.
It was incredibly helpful. But yeah. like all Sam and I, we went out to eat for meals mm-hmm. and had that done. But essentially when we were here, we were cleaning, we were mm-hmm. painting, we mm-hmm. were decluttering, yeah. we were working on the yard. Like we were getting the house ready yes. to sell.
Looks great.
And comedy of errors. There is, you were right. One of them is a shouting match with Lowe's and the 19 people that want to talk to me from Lowe's. And while we're trying to put the house on the market, this is this past week. Mm-hmm. The pictures were supposed to happen and did happen to like put our house on the market.
Right.
Yesterday. They happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. The day before, the fence was supposed to be installed, which meant the day before that, uh-huh. the lumber was supposed to be delivered.
Sure.
And actually, all of that was supposed to happen over the weekend, but Lowe's made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Lowe's fixed the mistake by sending the stuff Tuesday and then contractor Wednesday. And then none of that happened.
Yeah.
So all while that is happening, I'll tell more about that story in a second. All while that's happening. The day before picture.
Not happening.
Not happening. Exactly. The day before that, my neighbor, sweet man, just a sweet man, has a small water leak from his water main. Mm-hmm. You know, like the little meter thing that they have, right? Okay. He doesn't call the city. He doesn't call a contractor. Tries to do it himself. Tries to go and
DIY.
Fix it. Yeah. I'm just going to fix it.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know, 5'8". I walked out one morning because I woke up and we didn't have water in our house.
Yeah.
Yes. The house we're trying to sell, the house we're trying to be done with.
Yeah.
I'm done with it because the water didn't work. I go outside. He's standing in a hole his size. His hat is at ground level and he's covered in water.
Yeah.
It made it way worse.
Just a few hundred more dollars, you can do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? So we didn't have water for a day. He still currently doesn't have water. There's a massive lake in my front yard now.
Yeah.
We went around them for the pictures, but when people come to look at the house, I guess we'll just put on Zillow. There's a poolside. Yeah. We have a pool. We have a lake. Yeah. We have a moat. I don't know. Will it help the sale? Will it hurt the sale?
I think a moat could be interesting. Yeah. It says adventure.
Exactly. I'm a king and you can be too. You can have my seat when I leave. I might die. My throne might be opening pretty soon. Okay. Lowe's. Jeez Louise. It all was going well. I call Lowe's. I would like to purchase a fence. Not the whole fence, just the front, like the front on the left side of the house, the front on the right side of the house. Well, I would like for one to be a gate. The other one doesn't have to be a gate. Okay, good. Guy comes out. His name's John.
John.
You know John.
I do know John.
That was very silly. You were walking into the house. He was walking yes. out and you're like, I know this man. He's been High in my five. House. Very silly. Yep. John, very nice. John did all the measurements. He said, hey, here's the final price, and it was 3 digits. I really thought it was going to be 4 and a high amount. 3 digits.
Yeah.
I'm like, where do I sign?
Good.
Sign
yes.
me up. I would like to pay for this now. He's like, great. That was on last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. No, last Monday. That was last Wednesday. Monday. He said, they'll be in contact with you to deliver the stuff, and then the contractor will call you to schedule a thing. Contractor calls me. He's like, I'll be there Saturday. So they schedule the wood to be delivered. Like Thursday. Well, then they don't bring it Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then apparently they try to deliver it Friday. I get an email on Friday morning at 9 saying, your delivery is now on Friday. I'm at a track meet all day. I'm not home.
Right.
So apparently they called me and they were like, hey, we're trying to deliver this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, thanks for the warning. Right. So they didn't deliver it, which means I now have to call the contractor. Now you can't come. Okay, great. It happens. He's like, well, if they bring it Monday or Tuesday, I can come out Tuesday or Wednesday. Great. No big deal. We're still going to be in time for pictures. It'll be fantastic. Very, very good. Monday rolls around. Nothing's delivered. I get a call from the local office. I get a call from the national office. Everyone's confused. I'm still getting emails saying, hey, your stuff will be delivered tomorrow. Hadn't been delivered. Hey, your stuff was already delivered. No, it wasn't. Like, just no one's talking to each other. It's all a mess. And then Tuesday finally happens. They're like, hey, we are delivering it Tuesday. I'm in touch with the person who's delivering the wood and the concrete and all the latches and everything. Great. He brings it on Tuesday. He's like, where do you want me to put it? And I was like, can you put it in my backyard? Because I don't want anybody to steal it and I don't want it to mess, be in my front yard for the pictures.
Right.
He said, no, I can't go back there. Okay, fine, whatever. Puts it in the front yard. This is, I mean, just tons and tons of wood and concrete.
Yeah. Great.
I get a call that night, Tuesday night, from a person I've never spoken to before. His name's Frank. I'm gonna name him.
Frank.
Frank. What a poop face. That's definitely what I've been calling him off air. Frank calls me. He says, he's very frustrated right from the get-go.
He is.
I don't know him at all. Never. Who is this Frank that's very being very gruff with me? Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. He said, the person that you've been talking to this whole week, he works for me. I am this business. I am the scheduler. He shouldn't have scheduled. I'm like, how is that my problem? I don't work for you.
Yeah.
You actually work for me. I paid Lowe's. You work for Lowe's.
Yes.
So why are you yelling at me? And then I start yelling at him because he's saying, we're not coming for 2 weeks, maybe three.
Oh, wow.
I said, no, 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 sir. Your employee said that he was going to be here this past weekend and that he's going to come tomorrow morning. He said, he's not coming tomorrow morning. He will come in 3 weeks. I said, no. That's not how this is working. He said, he shouldn't have scheduled. I'm like, your man called me and said, I am from Lowe's. I am the installer. Would you like to schedule? I said, yes. How am I therefore supposed to intuit that he's the wrong person to talk to? You're a woman. You have a woman's intuition. Even you couldn't have seen that coming.
No.
Oh, this person I'm talking to that's scheduling to come to my house, clearly the wrong man.
Right.
Just ridiculous. So I'm in a shouting match with him because he's like, why are you so upset? What do you mean, why am I so upset? Because you said you're going to do this. I'm trying to sell this house. And now all these people are going to come look at the house and there's clearly no fence that I paid for. It's already been paid for. Everything's supposed to be done. It's not done. So I yelled at him quite a bit.
What is his reason? What is the reason?
No idea.
You have the stuff. The stuff is there.
It's there in my front yard. And when they didn't come to do it, guess who had to move tons and tons of stuff? It took me 40 minutes. To move all that stuff from there to my back porch. My entire back porch is wood and concrete now. I don't work for him. He was literally treating me like I worked for him. Like I made
the
mistake.
Right, you're confused.
I made the mistake. I'm like, no, sir. No, sir.
Right.
I don't work for you. And you don't get to yell at me like this.
Yeah.
So then I called the national office and they're like, your stuff will be delivered tomorrow. I'm like, it's been here for 2 days.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, it's just, how is this going so wrong? It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Well, what happened is you caught his frustration with his employee. I am not sympathizing with Frank. I am not a Frank sympathizer. I don't care about Frank. Frank stinks. Okay. But what was happening is that he's really mad at the person that made this unrealistic, unattainable schedule. And then he calls you with the tone that he just had with his employee. Right. And that is Frank's mistake. Mm-hmm. So I something similar, this is not like a whole other tangent, but, and I have a lot of kids in a lot of different schools and it happened a long time ago. So I actually love this person. A principal called me once and tried to talk to me as though I were a student. And I'm like, see, now this isn't going to work.
Right, right. Yeah.
You are a little confused about the dynamics here. So we should just hang up and start over.
Right.
And anyway, it ended up being fine. And I love this person. Like I said, it was a long time ago. But I think that's like what went wrong. Mm-hmm. Still not your problem.
Right.
Okay, but are you getting a fence soon? Like,
no.
What's the resolution?
No idea.
No.
They're supposed to call me today.
Not done.
I have not received a call. I spent 30 minutes on the phone with finally a nice person who understands that I'm a customer.
Yeah.
Two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, look, I was like, I'm never talking to Frank again. Never once. Mm-hmm. If he comes to my house, I'm not speaking to him.
Yeah.
I'm just not talking to that man.
It's probably not even safe.
I do not want him at my house. I don't want to talk to him again. If his employee would like to come, great. But I would really like for you to find another contractor who can do it. One, the primary goal is to get it done before 3 weeks from now.
Right.
I'm not waiting on Frank because I don't work on his schedule, especially when he's like, oh, these people scheduled first. I'm like, actually, I did. You just didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Because you suck. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? So just so very strange. And then all this, like, I just want to sell the house. I just want it to look nice. I've already paid the money. Why isn't it done yet? Okay. then I still have to like live my normal life. And like I mentioned on last week's episode, right. It's Lent. I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to be calm. I'm trying not to yell at people. But, you know, all this has been snowballing. And then Frank calls all gruff. And I'm like, blah!
Yeah.
Right? It happened again. Another person. And another, I have to be a little bit more vague about this one.
Okay.
It's not Frank from Lowe's. Lowe's contractor. I'm not gonna
or a family member.
It's a person that I interact with on a work basis type of thing.
Okay.
And me and this person have not liked each other for a very long time.
Okay.
And there's been a intermediary between the two of us for a while now.
Okay.
And the intermediary set the thing, and it was supposed to happen. And then this person does something they're not supposed to, and it largely affects me.
Okay.
Very much affects me. Okay. They do this thing that they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. I go confront them about it, and they yell at me like I'm a child and not an equal peer or an adult or a man or whatever, right? Literally had to make the decision. There's a fence between us. That fence did a lot of work that day. Because he was very disrespectful to me in front of a lot of other people that know me and know him and very not good.
Mm-hmm.
My decision was, am I going around this fence and towards you
to
finally fight after many years after of this happening?
After the tension.
Or am I walking away and am I going to, I'm going to look, it's going to look like I'm walking away with my tail between my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two options.
Mm-hmm.
Punch.
And yeah.
And probably never do this job again.
Then just,
right. You know, because that would be the end of it.
High consequence.
Or walk away like I absolutely lost.
You have such a sharp tongue, Taylor. I feel like there's some middle ground there.
Not in this situation. There really was two. Because even using my sharp tongue would have gotten me in trouble.
Okay.
So I did the holy thing.
Wow.
And I walked away.
You did.
I made a phone call to the intermediary. Not wholly on that phone conversation.
Okay.
I said lots of words.
It's understandable.
And it was ultimately resolved.
Okay.
But that night was before all of this house stuff.
Okay.
When that night happened. So here's all of this stuff happening. Did I get it all? I don't know. I'm gonna make sure I cover them all.
Checks notes.
Oh, no, it's not
no,
over.
No, one. Don't be silly.
There's another one. Speaking of sharp tongue. Sharp tongue, but like I have a way with words.
It's kind I was just going to say, you know how some people will have some sort of conflict or confrontation and then they'll be in the shower later or like going to bed and they'll be like, oh, but I could have said. Mm-hmm. You're one of those people that's like, okay, so maybe I shouldn't have said.
Oh, yeah,
like it's always available to you.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So my superpower is words. It's literally what I do for a living. I have gotten pretty good. I've had training in like de-escalating scenarios. It also helps that I'm big and loud. Like that helps to de-escalate things because it's really hard for people to escalate things with me because you can't go much higher than me, right? But whether I do it perfectly or not, there's currently another situation in my life where somebody that I am responsible for just will not communicate with me.
Mm.
And they're being a problem.
Okay.
And typically, when somebody's a problem, I will, it's a coaching thing. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
I will yell at them, tell them to do better. And then if it continues, if they don't respond to that kind of coaching, I'll pull them aside.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Are you sick? Are you hurt? Something happened at school? What's going on?
Yeah.
Because like, you can't do this, but at the same time, I'm not just going to yell at them. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We try to meet in the middle. And I've gotten pretty good at that in 10 years. I'm good with kids. I worked at youth ministry for years. I've been coaching for 9 years now. Like, sure. I'm pretty good at that part of it. The, you know, just will not communicate with me. Like, clearly something is wrong.
Yeah. Personality conflict. Like, what's the...
I have asked more. I've done everything that I possibly can. Is it me? Are you sick? Is it this? Is it that? Is it... And just nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Not like lying or trying to get around it. Like, literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we had been having this entire conversation and you just stared at me and nodded yes or no the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a conversation. So, like, my superpower is gone. I have nothing.
Yeah.
Because I can say words, but I'm throwing words into a void, which feels weird for me.
Yeah.
Because even if I'm saying the wrong words, like, I like a relationship with you. Like, we've known each other long enough. Even if I say something that's not right, I'm still at least trying to figure out what's going on
for
so
sure.
that I can make it right.
Yeah.
But like, if there's no feedback,
I
can't tell if it's me or them or what.
Or if there's usually feedback and there's no feedback, then that no feedback means something. But like consistently no feedback.
Like for like 3 weeks. Yeah. Where I'm just like, you know, everybody has a bad day. I've been coaching people enough where like people have acted like this towards me for a day or two, but it's like
right.
Not 3 weeks the whole time where it's like, you know, whatever. And I have good relationships with these kids, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Just, it's very, very strange. So like, even that is just like, I can't fix it. So like everything in my life is going wrong and I can't fix it is essentially what's going
on. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
So here's what's happened. It started the night that I fought with the work person and it has continued for like the last week or so with the Lowe's person and all this kind of stuff. Right. Other than blowing up at those two people, which actually I blew up once. I did not blow up the other time because I would have actually blown up. I had to make decisions not to.
Right.
So I guess internally I blew up. I did not blow up.
Well, externally. And maybe on the phone after, which is appropriate.
Right. And that was one-on-one and not with one person in front of 20 others.
Okay. Exactly.
So I actually only blew up once. It's funny even saying that out loud. Like I thought I've blown up twice this in the last week and really I've only done it once.
Yeah, it was just in your head. Yeah.
So I have tried my best. Like even on the phone with Frank, I was very calm for like 7 minutes until he just kept over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not a boy. I'm not your employee.
Yeah.
I paid you money. Do the job. Right. Like it just over and over again. So been trying my best to just, and like most of the days, like I'm fine. I'm going about my work. I've been mostly pleasant. Like, I don't know. Like I've been handling it way better, but I've been waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning with anybody that listens to the show. Knows
I can verify.
Typically wake up between 8 and 10, usually 8 and 9, but sometimes 8 and 10. And it's spring break.
Yeah.
I have time to rest and I cannot sleep. I am waking up wide awake because I'm either angry or stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at this weird thing where I'm trying to be as holy as possible. And I think it might literally be killing me. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because I think I would be sleeping if I just blew up more often.
No.
So it's this weird thing of like, I don't know what to do.
No, you wouldn't. I think that there's a lot of things going on at the same time, which I really think is how God gets our attention a lot of times, because I think that he can best showcase his work in desperate situations. Mm-hmm. So he allows these situations to become desperate. But I don't think that anybody needs to minimize moving. Okay. Moving is very stressful. I mean, Seth and I try to go to divorce court every time we move. Like it is the stuff that you accumulate, especially with kids. If you're not moving like every 4 years, there is a giant purge that needs to happen. It feels overwhelming. Not only is it like task management overwhelming, but like it's the end of an era. Like you've celebrated a lot here. You've grieved a lot here. Like there's just a lot that goes along with relocating. It's scary. Like you're probably comfortable here. Is it ideal? No, but it's what you know. So there's a lot that goes into that that I think we ignore. And I think that we can ignore it emotionally. We can ignore it physically, but it's going to come out sideways if we're not really, really in tune to all of the many things going on. Now, I think that professionally, there are hits that we can take that hurt a little more when it's something that we feel really good at. So to be kind of doing this with maybe it's people that you usually get along with or conversations that you're usually pretty successful with or people that you can usually kind of win over, you know? So it's, to me, it just sounds like you have this underlying stress of moving and then just like little grievances on top of that. And then all of it feels explosive.
Yeah.
Now, I do not think that waking up at 5 a.m. is any indicator that you're doing something wrong. I think that anytime we feel something bad, we tell ourselves that, oh, it's like some moral failing or it's because I'm not doing something right. That's not true.
And that's typically when I've gotten like this, where if I get stressed and like my body starts taking it, but my head isn't, that's a pretty typical thing for me. Typically, there is some kind of guilt involved.
Right.
Like I made a mistake, which is weird. Right. Cause like, could I have done things better this week? Yes. But like, I've actually been pretty kind with myself right. this week. Cause like
right.
I've handled, this has been a crazy 2 weeks and I think I've handled it pretty well.
Right.
But so it's weird. Like what you said is like, I typically have felt that, but it's like, it's not really a guilt because it's like, I'm trying my best.
No. Yeah.
You know, and even if it's not the best, I'm trying my best, you know, so
I don't think that it's and I do think that it is worth sitting in silence and in space, and silence and space is something we hardly ever get because we live our lives the way that we do, you know, like the world is gonna have its way with us unless silence and space becomes a discipline. So it's only until we allow that, and of course, like silence and space is a metaphor because it's impossible to get in our lives, right? Like we all have a lot of kids and whatever and our phones and that, but it's more of a posture of the heart. There's a searching. So like knowing exactly what you're feeling is a good exercise. It's not guilt. It's not guilt. I'm actually really proud of myself that I walked away in that instance. I'm actually really proud of myself that I didn't allow someone to speak to me that way. I'm actually, you know, it's not guilt.
That Frank is still alive.
I am proud that Frank is breathing. Okay. So like, if it's not guilt, then what is it? Is it stress? Is it exhaustion? Is it frustration? Those, you know, I wrote a text to a friend who was struggling recently, and I was like, you're sad because it's sad. Mm-hmm. You're tired because it's heavy. Mm-hmm. You're frustrated because it's frustrating. Like, we are not promised this really smooth path. I mean, we know that these things are going to come up, and, you know, it reminds me. I think it was like in Bruce Almighty or something, and so when Jim Carrey says it, it somehow doesn't seem... Oh, except it was Morgan Freeman. So then now we can. God. Like, yeah.
God, it's fine.
But but it's like, you know, we sit around and we're like praying for patience. God isn't going to just like, you know, like use this magic wand to make you patient. He's going to give you
his magic
situations.
Wand is broken. Yeah.
But him creating situations that demand your patience is not broken.
Which so, maybe it is working. Cause like I walked out and I'm yeah. like, yeah, there's a hole in my front yard. Well, I mean, I didn't expect there
right.
not to be.
I'm telling you, yeah. I really think that there's a lot of wins here. And just because you're having a negative emotion does not mean that it's a negative experience or that it's a negative thing. That's just a part of it. That's just a part of life. And when you can just accept, like, there are parts of this life that are going to be inconvenient and expensive and, you know, frustrating, whatever, then you can sit then. You can be like, oh, this is one of those times. And then instead of saying, why does God have me here? It's why does God have me here? You know, like, how do you want me to be here?
Right.
You know,
I don't want to be.
Oh, okay. Instead of instead of why do you have me here? It's what do you have for me here?
Right. Yeah. Nothing. I would like to move.
Great.
There's nothing left for me.
I'm all
here.
For it. Let's ditch the moat. Let's ditch Frank.
Ditch the moat. That was great.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm proud of you.
Well, it was unintentional. No, see, I'm no, unintentional.
Own it. You're very funny and smart. Very sweet. Okay. A couple of things that I made notes on that I think you reiterated here, which is very good.
Oh, good.
I'm going to give you one singular guess because it's one of those things you'll never guess. I'm going to give you one guess as where you think this quote is from because there have been three quotes. And I think I'll save the third one for a later segment. But two of them I'll share now. Three quotes that have really, one quote, a situation, and another quote that have really hit me, like touched me to where I was like tearing up because they were like moving me. This one is a quote. Goodness is not a destination we arrive at, but a practice. Goodness is not a destination we arrive at, but a practice. Mm-hmm. One guess. Where do you think that's from?
Yoga Journal.
That makes sense for you. I would have guessed some, you know, preacher, right? Uh-huh, you know, like, you know. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was Tyr, the Norse god of war, talking to Kratos, the titular god of war in the God of War video games. I'm tearing up because this man who is bald and large and dealing with a lot of trauma and working through it and becoming a better person. Mm-hmm. People wonder why I like that game, right?
Does he have a booming voice?
He does. Atreus. Yeah. Goodness is not a destination we arrive at, but a practice.
Yeah.
Just because there's just this guy working through his trauma, all the bad stuff he's done. He's trying to be better person.
Yeah.
Friend, dad, all this kind of stuff. I just loved it. I'm like on the verge of tears. I'm trying. You know, yeah. Like, I'm trying to practice this, right?
Yeah.
I also thought it was very ironic that it was two god of wars talking to each other. Mm-hmm. Like two gods of war mm-hmm. who are typically the bad guy in movies. Yeah. And both of these guys are good guys, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they're more the gods of war, like to protect their people and to protect their wives mm-hmm. and their kids and their all this kind of stuff, right? The other thing that cracked me up, because I saw this, it went viral a week or two ago. So I actually saw it before I got into these two yelling matches, but I thought about it during the two yelling matches. You might have seen this. There's a fight. There's two guys fighting at the train station. Did you see this video? Two guys fighting at the train station, literally in a fist fight. The video starts. We don't know what started it. We don't know why they're fighting.
Yeah.
But it's a middle-aged, probably 30-year-old black guy and like an older white guy, like 50-year-old white guy. They're fighting, fist fighting. And it's pretty even. Like they're going blow for blow. Mm. And then all of a sudden, the white guy trips off the train station.
Oh, dear.
And onto the tracks.
Oh.
I'm going to give you one guess and you'll get this one right.
Yeah.
Who saved him from that?
The guy fighting him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was just really funny. It's like, you know, this is a big enough deal that we can fight about it, but not a big enough deal that you deserve to die. You know, it was just this funny little thing where like,
that's great.
It was, and then he just walked away. It was just a really cool thing. It's like, okay, you know, we can fight, we can quabble, but ultimately I'm trying to be a good person. I'll save you if you fall off the train track, you know?
I love that so much. I think, okay, so you know how I think we get sold a lie that we're not supposed to be angry. And maybe it's a conditioning, I don't know, but it's like we're not supposed to feel bad feelings. And it's just not true. It's all information. It's like anger is this indicator. It's like something's wrong. And so it's good. Anger is a good thing. So like the reason that those men are mad at each other was probably some sort of indicator. Like something went wrong. Like something was wrong in my anger. But like, I do think we're responsible for shepherding it, for containing it, for we are responsible to it. It's not a bad thing, but we are responsible for it and to it. And so like, oh, okay, that's too much. Right. You know, yeah. You know, so it's like, yes, I'm going to yell at Frank on the phone, but he does not need to show up at my door. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it would be bad mm-hmm. unless it would be great. You know, like, so, right. But we're responsible to it. We are. And so I think you're doing a great job. Like, yes, I do.
I feel like I am doing well. I don't know how much more I could take, though. That's kind of where I am.
But
now.
Can we go back?
It was funny last week. It is no longer funny.
Right. So let's go back to how this all started out with like desperation best showcases his work. Because I am telling you, there are times where I will just be trying to go to bed at night and I can't go to bed at night because I like, you know, my mind's turning and maybe it's like 5 a.m. and you're like, why am I not sleeping? And I will have this desperation prayer. That it's like, I'm just throwing it up. Like in my mind, like that's what it looks like. That's what it feels like. It's just like, it's this big old ball of mess. It's just a tangled up mess. And I'm just like throwing it up. Like you just have to fix it. I am powerless.
I'm picturing you physically doing this, which is hilarious.
Oh, and I am too, is what I'm telling you. Like it is.
And you're just like.
Here, please.
Seth rolls over.
Make sense of this.
What's wrong with this woman?
No, oh, he's very well aware.
We definitely can't move anytime soon. It might not go well. I know,
right? But that's what it, and that is what all of this means of like when things that are confounding in scripture finally make sense, like, oh, when I am weak, you are strong, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, okay, I have admitted that I can do nothing in Christ. You can do nothing, not some things, but no things here. So anyways.
I'll try that. When I wake up tomorrow,
you throw up that ball at 5 a.m.
I'm going to throw up an invisible ball, and we'll see if Sam's still there or not, or if she's in the guest room.
Frank calls apologizing.
I would
name it and claim it.
I would never doubt
in Jesus' name.
Never doubt again.
In Jesus' name.
You're not doing it, but now it sounds like you're mocking that prayer because I just know it's not going to happen. I
am. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, frankly, I don't believe
Frank.
You.
Get to work.
Yeah. Literally. That's all I want him to do. That's clearly all I want him to do. Okay. We're not going to take a break.
We're not. Don't do it.
I want to talk about, I don't know how you want to talk about this. We kind of talked about this before.
Okay.
We've talked multiple times about you watching sports next to me.
Yes.
But I had an experience.
A little bruised, a little battered.
Yeah. That's why I'm wearing black, so it blends in. You know, nobody calls the police on me. Yeah, they're already looking for me, so.
I have no warrants.
Wouldn't it be great if I just got arrested for, like, driving around in my half-stolen parts Prius? It'd be great. Okay. So, I had never seen you at one of your... Going to jail. I had never seen you at one of your kids' sporting events. Mm-hmm. And I saw that for the first time mm-hmm. in the recent past. Mm-hmm. And first time I ever saw you deal with some anger stuff.
Yeah. So here's... Okay. This is a whole episode, Taylor, unfortunately. So I'll be quick.
I think this might be it. How long have we been going? Hello, dear listener. This is our segment. This is all we're doing. We might end with a few jokes just to lighten the mood before people go to the next podcast.
Before people cancel me.
Do continue.
Well, okay. I am here to tell you, and I'm here to confess and admit to the people. Basketball gets the worst of me. Okay. And football, I am a very reasonable parent. Okay.
Is it because you're further away?
There's a lot. So yeah. Football is, it is a 6-second play. Everyone gets out their aggression. You go back to your team. A lot's allowed. And so there's not like all this restraint that's required.
It took me a moment. I thought you went real country for a second.
Which word did I say?
You said a lot's allowed. I thought you were just being a lot's happening. A lot's allowed. No, is this a lot is allowed?
Yeah,
I heard as a lot's allowed.
Oh, no. Okay, please so yes, a lot is permissible.
There you go. Thank you. You sound one of them educated women.
And then it's like, okay, but basketball is 60 whole minutes of constraint and restraining yourselves and following the rules. Except here's the thing is that nobody does it. Mm-hmm. Nobody follows the rules. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay because, you know, it's a really physical game. That's why we have officials that have a little whistle around their neck that they're supposed to blow, okay? And so what happened, and it matters, and the reason why it matters is because if you are not in control of this game, someone is going to get hurt, mm-hmm. okay? Or someone is going to get so frustrated that they are going to turn around and put their hands in the middle of someone's chest and launch them across a gym. Okay. And that's just the players. The players do a better job than the parents, mm-hmm. honestly. So there's, and then the officials are people. I am convinced. I think that, that referees need shirts that say it's harder than it looks. Okay. Because it must be, it just must be harder than it looks is the only thing that mm-hmm. I can come up with. So, when there is a game,
they just weren't good enough athletes to be the athletes on the field. But that's a whole other thing.
It is. That's a whole other thing. And I'm not going to say that because I really do have a lot of respect
Frank's an official
for a good official. I bet he is. Ugh, he's so biased.
Baseball ump. What a jerk.
So when there is a letdown, when there is a breakdown, whether it's a biased ref, whether it's a ref that is letting them play too much or not letting them play at all, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, so there's a lot that can go wrong, and it really does kind of start here for me. Okay. The kids are kids. Kids are going to be kids. Kids are going to, and I understand that it's really physical. It's like kind of instincts like start to take over. You know, you can get tangled up. You can accidentally trip someone. I mean, I get it. It's really about an official to me. Okay. And so when things, Taylor, you know this about me, when things are unjust, I am triggered. And I'm just going to say it. I really am. And I feel a need for things to be set right. Mm-hmm. There's more than one of you out there. Mm-hmm. So can you step up and take care of this? Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to take care of this. Right. And so there is a part of my personality. I'm not proud of it. It's just true. But it's like somebody needs to lead here. And if you're not going to lead well,
I'm going to do it.
Can I do it?
Right.
And of course, it's not my place. I know that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm like a schmo in the stands. But it is that.
You're a shamey.
What?
Schmo's a man.
Okay.
You're
a shmamey?
Sheshika.
A shmamima. So anyways, basketball requires a lot of me. I am getting better actually. Amelia is a very good basketball player, and it looks especially obnoxious if, like, your kid's really good out there and you're loud.
Why are you yelling? She scored 24 instead of 26. What do you want, Mom?
But, and, you know, we play sweet kids. Like, it's fairly peaceful. And I was, I know. It's, there was a team this year that was like mocking her on a, cause they like body checked her and she went flying. And so they, the whole time they were like calling out at her tweet because she flew like a bird. And then she was,
I mean, she weighs 19 pounds.
She was doing free throws and they're like mocking her flying. And I'm like, okay.
And she should have dunked. She should have flown and dunked. Yes. That's how she should have responded to that.
So team. We were at a basketball game together. I did not feel like there was good reffing. And the, now here's the other component of that. Okay. So I want to say that it is true that there is a component of my personality that needs to be checked. Okay. That I am having an experience in the stands that is intense. Okay. I acknowledge that. However, what is also true at the same time is that I am an expressive person. Okay. I laugh loud. I sneeze loud. I'm going to hug you hard. Like, I am an expressive person. And so I can be having a great time in the stands and I can be cheering or I can be saying, you're not going to call that or whatever. And there is, I really think that this is true. There is something about hearing an opinionated woman in the stands versus hearing an opinionated man in the stands that is received differently. And I don't think that part is fair.
Received differently how? This is interesting for me. Because I'll tell you my experience of it in a second, but I'm okay. Interested to hear yours.
My husband videos. Okay. And so when he videos, you hear and see everything. Mm-hmm. And I am no more loud or have things to say than anyone else. And if you were to like tally it up by frequency, volume, whatever, it's all pretty equal. And there are things I really do call them like I see them. I have yelled, it is on video where Millie will kind of look either at her coach or in the stands like that was a foul. And I'm like, you did it. Don't. You know, like I really do call them like I see them. And so, or like that they'll call whatever. I'm like, actually, she didn't touch her. You know, like I really, okay. So I think that when a woman is opinionated in the stands, it is expected of men and it's not, or maybe it's that it feels safer because women are always being accused of being hysterical. It's like they think the balance is going to tip and you're going to lose it or something. And men are trusted to be more controlled or something in their whatever. And so it's just not as much of a factor with an expressive man.
That's fascinating because I am a loud, expressive man. And I was in this room for for two of these weeks. So it's interesting. That is a perspective that I wouldn't have known about. Mm-hmm. What was interesting for me is that there was a part of me that would have almost gotten this right. But I was still off. I don't think it was because I've been thrown out of this gym.
Right.
So there's a lot of us that is really similar in this. I think more than almost any conversation we've ever had on this show, this might be where we are the most united. I am loud and opinionated. I've gotten kicked out of this gym for yelling at the ref. And the only time that I actually yelled at the ref, like yelled, was because of injustice and kids about to get hurt. Mm-hmm. They were not controlling the situation, so right. Somebody had to.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, like you said, like, this isn't my place, but at the same time, this is physically my place. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I coach here, right? So it's just this weird kind of thing. What I noticed was there were two games that I saw this, one weekend, you know, 7 days apart, right? The first one, the refs were really bad. I was chirping. Other dads were chirping. And you were chirping. So that day, it felt more like a, like that was kind of silly to me. It's like, oh, it's funny to see Allison like getting riled up. Like that was kind of it was kind of fun and funny, right? The second week, there's a reason why I've been around sports long enough there's even a psychology to chirping. And like, I did it as a player. I've done it as a coach. I've done it as a spectator, like where if you chirp enough, they will start calling for you. If you chirp too much, they will start calling against you. Mm-hmm. There's a line, right? You have to kind of feel it out with different refs or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of my refs in high school, I learned where their line was, and I could put it into my favor, right? Some gamesmanship. The second week, I think the refs were a lot better. Mm-hmm. And it was more even. You know, there's going to be missed calls, right? There's going to be missed calls both directions, but I felt like it was more even. You know, two or three missed calls against them, two or three games calls against us. But I think the rest of the crowd was quieter that week because.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it did seem like you were louder that day. Mm. I guess because you weren't part of the. I wasn't tripping as much the other men. Women, there was no other women the week before. So that part's interesting because now, after hearing what you said, I don't know if it actually was quieter or if I was just hearing you more. One, I just thought I would notice you more. One, because you're sitting next to me. We're friends and we're sitting close to each other. But also, it's like, I'm going to know. I listen more when people that I know talk than when people I don't know talk.
You know,
there's people in the stands that I'm sure are talking the whole time. I just never hear them because I'm not. Right. So that was interesting because what it felt like was just like my assumption. It was just that like, you had a stressful week and you brought in the anger from the week before into the second game. And I was like, do you genuinely not like this person? Like, I was like, we know these people, you know, like, I was like, do you genuinely not like this person? Like, is there something else going on?
Yeah.
Cause it was like, I don't know. And I don't know if you even remember these days, but it stuck out.
Yeah,
to me
no,
I'm like,
I don't.
I haven't seen you, I guess, mad on your own, which I think that one day you were not. And one day you were.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. But I was also like,
Like,
I see myself in this. I've been this person, right? Yeah. So it was an interesting thing for me because I had never seen you like that, I guess, to that extent. But I was absolutely seeing myself. So it was this weird, like, mirror thing.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. I don't remember a difference between either one. The reffing was annoying the week that you're talking, the first week, the one that you're saying the first week.
Right.
That week, the reffing was really, really, really bad and biased. And then the second week, I had been there all day and it was like, it's really packed in the mornings. And was like a microphone and an amplification system involved, which was like everyone's nerves were up here because it was like overstimulation of it was being announced, not just like making announcements, but like play by plays were.
Yes, you did not like that.
No, well, there was like all of us were like, how can we politely say like this is making people like. You know, and so there was an overstimulation factor, but then that had cleared out really a lot, but I don't know. I don't remember any specifics. I just remember the one thing that I remember being loud about, because I remember being quiet that game, but the one thing.
You blacked out, I think.
No, the one thing I do remember was a referee had made a call and then these fans objected to the call and he turns around to like, look at them. Well, then like what should, and I was like, nope, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let the stands call the game. So
I do remember that.
Yeah. That was the only time that I like remember being, you know,
it was just interesting. Cause it was interesting. Cause like, it was the beginning of my anger a couple of weeks. And then to see it, and it was one of those things, like, I didn't know if I'm just heightened to it because I was feeling it myself from the rest of my life. And like seeing this trait in you that I was surprised by. And you have mentioned before that you get like wild and crazy at sports games. And I had seen that, just not with your own kids. And there was a difference. It was just fascinating because it was part of it was like, this is funny. And part of it was like, oh boy. And the other part was like, it was a mirror because like, I respect you and care about you and you're my friend. So like seeing, I was like, oh, is this how people see me when I'm being wild?
I think it's a combination. I mean, this is all good feedback because I think it's a combination of like genuinely loving sports. Like I really have a great time. And then being a vocal, expressive person and really, really caring about justice and then basketball making all of those things kind of you know, a like a little volcano, like, you know, whether it's good or bad. Like, I am the one who's going to pee myself jumping up and down. Like, that's me. I'm the one who's going to leave a mark on the person beside me. Like, I love it. So, like, I feel like a lot of the things that come out of my mouth are encouragement for either my kid or his teammates. Mm-hmm. If there's
which is true. I don't want to. Yeah. Which is very true. You were constantly talking and it was not all anger. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, you were doing that too. You were like, go, son. You cheered my kid. You cheered the other kid. Like, yeah.
Or even,
I don't want to paint the picture like you're just sitting there yelling, you're eating popcorn and yelling at the refs. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, or even like a kid from the other team that sinks a three. I'm like,
oh no, that made me angry. Good shot, buddy. That's the one thing you did that day that I cannot stand for. You were cheering for the other team.
I do.
I could not stand it. I will not stand for it.
My son.
That's the 10 part we're gonna disagree on.
My oldest kid was like, Mom, I don't think you understand the rules. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I just think it's great when kids do brave things.
Everyone here except the ref, Silas.
Yes, actually.
Very funny. There was one last little piece, something that you said, and then you made me laugh, and I forgot what it was.
Well, yeah, I will say that I think basketball gets the worst of humanity. Playing club basketball, that is a whole new ball game where I am a P-mite, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think track gets the best of humanity, and it's track season, so I feel great.
Good. I'm very glad. I remember the last, so earlier in the conversation about anger, mm-hmm. there's a mixture when it comes to me and sports, because my life has been surrounded by sports my whole life. There's a mixture now that I've gotten older, and it's again this like trying to be a better person, but trying to figure out where I fit, like as mm-hmm. an adult and a father and a community member and all this kind of stuff. And one of the weirdest parts is that I coach at the school where a lot of these events are happening.
Yeah.
So I've had this now with sports, and I've had it with some of the stuff at the school where, like, I think there's this culture, especially online, where like nobody wants anybody to ever throw their weight around, mm-hmm. to ever use any social capital that they have, never use any, you know, how dare you use your platform? Like, there's something weird about that. Like, people don't like it. Mm-hmm. People don't like people throwing their weight around or using any social capital that they've used. So I'm like hyper aware of that. So when I'm at these sporting events, I know that, especially when it comes to sports, like, there's some respect for me in the community when it comes to sports. So it's weird. Because of that, I'm aware of that, and I don't want to be the person yelling in the stands because I feel like I actually could sway things. Mm. So I essentially see it. I'm sure there's a third option, kind of like you mentioned earlier, but like with my anger stuff, I see two options. Punch the person or walk away or be essentially shut down, be quiet, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I've chosen to do at a lot of sporting events that I'm not the person responsible for. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm the track coach, I am going to use everything I can to throw my weight around, mm-hmm. everything I can to try to help, right?
Yeah.
But like when I'm coaching at things, and it's this weird thing of like, now that my son's involved, it's like, I want to be influential, but I don't want to be the guy overstepping. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like that, a lot of times that's why I think getting thrown out of the game a few years ago might've kind of started this for me of like, where do I find this balance between getting thrown out, being influential, but not being a jerk.
Yeah.
Throw my weight around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's
I have I've yet to have been thrown out of a game, but all of the women I love, like that are ahead of me in seasons have, and I'm like, really? Man, I don't aspire to that. Like, it stresses me out. Like, that it would crush me.
It's interesting because, like, you brought up gender earlier about people maybe noticing you more yelling than me or the other dads or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, almost all of our basketball refs are male. I'm mostly at men's boys sports, but I don't know if you've seen a ton of female refs around.
I had this experience where I walked in and there were two female refs.
What are you doing here?
Well, it was interesting because we're supposed to analyze our biases, right? So you feel a bias, and then if you don't analyze it, then you can't inform it and change it, whatever. So like I notice when I walk in and I see the female refs, I go, oh good, this is going to be fair. And then I was like, oh, hold on. I need to analyze that.
That's interesting because my bias is, do they know what they're doing? Like,
oh, you know, yeah. So, good. We need to analyze these.
Part of that is because they're a ref, not just because they're a woman. I feel the same way.
But it's like, okay, I think that a woman.
But I want a female judge.
You want to wink at her. Yeah.
Hey, sweet so, mama. I mean, Your Honor.
Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, female. But yeah, there are.
The gender thing, though. And maybe it's just another gender assumption thing. If it's two men that are reffing, zero chance you're getting thrown out. Zero.
Hold on. Did a woman throw you out?
No, a man did. Uh-huh. And I think it's because he felt disrespected man to man. I felt like he was in charge. So I did my thing. I think he felt disrespected because a man's yelling at him. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine a man on an all men's thing throwing a woman out. Cannot be the person who threw a woman out of the game.
I don't know. No, I think they'll be just fine with that. Especially now that we have a whole classification of Karen.
Two moms. It might be different now. Mm-hmm. I had two moms get in a physical fight at one of my junior high basketball games. The smallest little white woman you've ever seen and one of the largest black women you've ever seen. Mm. Physical fight, and it was relatively even, which was incredible. It was the talk of the town for years.
Yeah.
Not thrown out. Not thrown out. Just dad talking too much. Get the hell out of here. Two moms physically fighting. Sit down, ladies. That was it. That was the call. I don't think you're ever getting thrown out. I want you to try now.
Oh gosh.
Prove me wrong.
No.
Well, in that case, you're gonna hate this. I'm gonna be right until you do it.
Oh gosh, can I stomach it? I don't know.
Fascinating. Okay. So what are we going to do about this?
I'm not getting thrown out. Okay. I'm not. I'm going to contain my anger, and I'm going to sit with injustice, and I'm going to let these poor leaders lead. All without saying a word.
I don't believe
you. No, it's not happening. It can never happen. Anyway, okay. I don't know. I think that I think people need to get used to rowdy women. That's what I think.
I like rowdy women.
Yeah. Well. Other teams don't.
This is going to be a whole segment. We're going to end with this. We're going to end with some silliness. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Two random questions. I had this thought the other day. What do they call it? Like a soft launch? We're going to soft launch this segment. Okay. We're not actually doing the segment, but we're soft launching this segment. You've heard of Catholic Answers, yes?
Indeed.
Okay. What do you think they do?
They take really common questions about Catholicism, and then they try to give you good apologetics for why this is
right. Very good. They were very helpful to me in college when back when I used to argue with people I disagree with, and now I don't care.
Yeah.
So I had this idea the other day to start a ministry called Catholic Questions.
Okay.
Where I just ask the most bizarre Catholic questions that like you can't ask when Protestants are around because they're just too weird. I've got two of them for you. Ready for this?
Okay.
This is our soft launch of it. Can you, Allison Sullivan, eat bacon bits on Fridays during Lent?
For sure.
Why is that?
It's not even meat.
Not even once.
Prove it.
Not even once.
It's not meat.
We had bacon bits.
Salt. It's like a clump of salt.
It's not.
With some barbecue sauce.
It's not. I know exactly what it is.
What?
Because I read the nutrition facts. It is soy and chemicals. Soy and chemicals.
I stand Nothing corrected, else. But barely.
No. Yeah. I wish you were right. Because I've eaten a lot of bacon bits in my day. We were having salads on a Friday in Lent.
Yeah.
And somebody said, you can't eat the bacon bits. I said, let me read that.
Yeah.
I read it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You knew.
Not even like bacon flavoring.
No.
Just.
You want to know why? Because we like bacon. Because we like real bacon. Because we know that is not bacon. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
By the way, if it were real bacon, could it really sit in a plastic container in my cabinet for way too long? No.
But
not right.
Soy and chemicals can. Second question. We've been talking about some gender differences today, too. It's a perfect way to end. Thought about this the other day. We've all been in the situation at Mass where either you get there late or maybe you have to take a kid out or you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of Mass. You are sitting in the middle of your pew. So there's another family or another couple on the right side of your pew and the left side of your pew. No matter what you do, there's going to be people you have to cross by.
Sure.
This has been a thing my entire life, but it's become more prominent since I got larger.
Okay.
When you, Allison Sullivan, as a modest and loving and caring and good Catholic woman, mm-hmm. if you were in this situation,
yeah,
are you crossing with your backside in the faces of the other Catholics mass-goers, or your front side in the faces of these Catholic mass-goers?
You know, unfortunately, I'm like picturing it happening. And unfortunately, I think I'm equal opportunity. And oh, I don't know that I've ever given this enough thought, but now I certainly will. I think that it, for me, it's about efficiency and speed. And a lot of that has to do with like which hand a kid is holding. You know what I mean? Like there's, sure. I have paraphernalia. And a lot of that is how that's arranged. And if I want this to go as quickly, it's about speed. It's about, this is awkward. And so I need to make it quick. So I'm not going to take the time to like switch a thing so that I can change direction. It's just, you got to get in, get out.
Again, this isn't Catholic Answers. I'm not going to give an answer.
Yeah.
But I will let you know I've been asking this question a lot more.
Yeah.
I did it the other day.
Well,
I think I've made a decision.
Yeah.
I think one is more awkward than the other.
Yeah. I think I agree.
Yeah. So that's, guys, you're
the only
thing answers.
Weirder would be eye contact. I mean, that's the worst.
Which
right?
is more, which would happen more if you went the front way. So I think I'm leaning towards.
Yeah.
The
I mean,
way.
That's just safe all around. Let's do that.
I was equal opportunity my whole life until I thought about it. And then I'm like, I think I was going 50-50, and
right.
I think 50-50 is wrong. I think we need, as a society, we need to make a decision.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
That's what I think about doing church.
Make it a hard lunch.
We got to go. we had a lot to talk about today, and Allison's broken. And we did promise that in this soft launch of this segment, we would give no answers, and we gave you none. We gave you nothing. Neither of us are looking at each other or the camera now. That's our one rule when we record video. We either look at the camera or each other, and we were both looking off into the distance. Well, here's what I'm going to do, Allison.
Safer over there.
Here's what I'm going to do. As a thank you for you coming on this day that I didn't think you were going to be joining me for this lovely show.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy you a shirt for you to wear.
You are.
At your sporting events.
Okay.
It says, "This is harder than it looks." I'm Dennis Shaw. I'll be back next week. That's Allison Sullivan. She'll be back in a month. See ya. Thank y'all for watching and listening today. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure that you smash that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that little bell so you don't miss any of our videos, whether it's this show or any of the other bonus stuff that we have only on our YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed yet, especially if you listen on any of your favorite podcast app, head on over to youtube.com/ForteCatholic. Hit that subscribe button. Check out some of the other videos we have, like not only full episodes of this show, but we have our Catholic Teaching Foundations series that we're currently going through again. We have some of our pop culture series called A Catholic Perspective. We've talks and music and all sorts of things. Go check it out, and we'll see you next week. Love you.